This episode is brought to you by Lululemon. 10 years ago, Lululemon created a yoga legging. A legging made of a revolutionary fabric that was as soft as it was stretchy. A legging that followed every curve, felt virtually weightless, and held in place during even the toughest poses. They called it Align, and we've been stretching ourselves in it ever since. Now discover the full Align collection, 10 years in the making, at lululemon.co.uk.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Hey everybody, this is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Taj Easton, and this is one of our conversation stories, a special conversation story for Pride Month between me and my dear friend Kate Bowl. Kate is a legendary Risk storyteller. She has told two stories on Risk, which I would put in the absolute Hall of Fame. We reran both of them just a couple of months back, so you may have heard them. If you haven't, I recommend going back because they're some of the best stories on the show, in my humble opinion. When I first met Kate, I had just gone through a breakup and I was kind of fucked beyond belief, emotionally speaking. And I told a story that was not about that, but I guess it kind of came through. It was on this podcast and Kate heard it and she sent this like 10-minute message that was an act of long distance empathy. From one stranger to another that blew my mind. And it kind of still blows my mind actually right now reflecting on it. It was so beautiful. I can't convey it, but I think you'll get some sense of the kind of person that Kate is listening to this story. So yeah, that started a friendship that has lasted these past 3 years. After that initial voice memo, Kate and I talked a lot on the phone and she helped me a lot because I was really fucked up for a long time and I needed help and Kate helped. I can never repay her for that, but I can be friends with her for the rest of our lives and that's what I plan on doing. There is a moment in this story where Kate references Next Benedict, and we don't talk too much about who Next Benedict was. So if you don't know the story of Next Benedict, I will just give the briefest of context in saying that Next Benedict was a 16-year-old non-binary kid in Oklahoma who died in February of 2024. It was a complicated story. Their death was first reported as the result of a head injury that they suffered in a fight that was a product of transphobic bullying. But later it was revealed by autopsy that Nex's death was a suicide. And there was a big whole bunch of culture war shit over it. That's a little bit about who Next Benedict was. I'd encourage you to look up their story if you're interested to know more. Anyway, I did not intend to talk that long, but I did. I should have stopped a long time ago. I'm going to stop now. Maybe I'll cut all of this and you guys won't hear any of this. Maybe there won't even be any hosting because this was too much for me to talk before this story. But now I am going to stop talking. I'm going to be talking again in just a minute, but it's not part of the preamble. It's the actual story. So I hope that is tolerable. If you don't like me or my voice, this is going to suck because I'm going to continue to talk off and on for the next hour or so. Don't skip the podcast because it's mostly Kate, but if you find my voice so intolerable that you cannot stand even for a second to hear it, then I guess, yeah, you'd probably skip it. Here's Kate Bull now with the story we call The Luckiest Trans Woman Alive. We haven't talked in so long, and I'm so eager to hear everything that's happened to you in the last couple years. And I mean, especially, of course, interested in everything that's led up to this transition. And I don't know if you recall, but the last time we talked, it was just when you were sort of exploring your sexuality with transgender gals, right?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And there was this woman, Ruby, who I still count as one of my doulas, my trans doulas. I was so in love with her.
Mm.
And then sometime over last summer, you knew I broke my leg. Did I tell you that?
You mentioned it briefly.
Yeah, I broke my leg behind the bar.
Oof.
On Memorial Day of last year. Badly.
Oof.
Well, then I was on the couch. I was cosplaying Misery.
Uh-huh.
For 2.5 months on my mother's couch in suburbia. Now, I am grateful that I had someplace to go and someone to care for me. I'm enormously grateful for that. But to be 56 at the time and having your mother give you sponge baths and empty your urinal,
yeah,
and bringing you food, it's a little demoralizing.
Yeah.
And it was during that period. Now, here's the thing. The worst thing you can do is give someone who thinks too much time to think. But it was also during that period where I figured out that, yeah, I do love Ruby, but it was more that I wanted to be her rather than be with her.
Oh, wow.
That was really the beginning. And then one of my friends from high school, I mean, we've known each other for decades, obviously. She came to visit me and she reminded me that when we were 17 years old, we were on a school trip to Florida, concert choir trip.
Okay.
And we were walking the beach one night and I had said to her, I felt like a lesbian trapped in a man's body.
Whoa. You had forgotten that you had said that.
Yeah, I did.
Mm.
And then there were other memories that started to come back. You know, there was, when I was in first grade, this is 1972, 1973 in Virginia.
Uh-huh.
Right, this is real Virginia. This is not Arlington, Virginia.
Okay, you know. Okay. Yeah.
This is real Virginia. And my mother asked me what I wanted to be for Halloween. And I said, well, I want to be someone scary. I want to be the Wicked Witch of the West. And my mother says, do you want to be like a warlock or a wizard? And I said, no, I want to be the Wicked Witch of the West. And she handmade me a Wicked Witch costume.
Oh my God.
Including pinked cap. And so somewhere there is a photograph of me in full on Margaret Hamilton drag, grinning ear to ear in first grade.
That is sweet.
And I would pull out that dress as long as it fit because it just felt right.
Yeah.
You know, I read my mother's copy of Our Bodies, Ourselves and The Joy of Sex. in the 70s too. You know, I raid her makeup occasionally. And in my 20s, I would joke that I would make some woman a wonderful wife. But I wasn't really joking. And then both of my ex-wives, my first ex-wife, she lived with a woman for 3 years before we even got together. Right. And we would, you know, we would go see every lesbian movie that came out when it came out. We would listen to Melissa Etheridge and Indigo Girls and, you know, Katie Lang. She, I'm sure, knew before I did. And the same thing with my second ex-wife. I bet she knew before I did, too. Yeah, so, I mean, it's always been there. But when I was growing up, and when I was in high school, for example, this is the early 80s. You know, straight, obviously, we knew about. Gay and lesbian, we knew about. If you were bisexual, you were either a coward who couldn't choose a team, or you were just greedy. And the only way we talked about trans folk was in terms of drag queens or cross-dressers.
Right.
Which is not really about gender at all.
No.
We didn't have the language.
Right.
You know, it's literally the millennials and Gen Z who gave me the language to speak about myself as I am. It's a remarkable thing. It's amazing. And I'm glad I found it.
It's so amazing. It's so amazing, Kate. On the couch at your mom's, was there kind of a light bulb moment, or was it a gradual coming around to realization?
You know what it was? It was a light bulb on a rheostat.
What's a rheostat?
So as you turn the dial, right? You know, it's a dimmer.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So it's a light bulb on a dimmer.
Yeah.
So the light got, you know, it started to spark.
Yeah.
But it took a while before it reached its full illumination. When I got back to the city, you know, I was still out of work for another 2 months. And I have a friend, a very dear friend who I've known for 20 plus years, who runs a movie night called Attack of the 50-Foot Movie.
Cool.
At this bar that has become a place where I frequent. It's always a cult film.
Okay, cool.
And he'll cut together trailers or interstitials that are associated with whatever film he's showing. And he brings in a burlesque dancer to perform in the theme of the movie.
Fucking awesome, Jesus.
So, oh, it's a great night. It's a great night. I'd never been able to go because they're usually on a Tuesday night and I work on Tuesdays.
Right.
So this was, you know, walking with my cane at this point.
Yeah.
I was able to go to the show for the first time. And I went early because we hadn't, Leon and I had not seen each other in a little while. And I wanted to come out to him before he had to fall into impresario mode.
Yeah.
So we were able to sit at the bar and I came out to him as queer because I'd come out as queer in January of that year, last year.
Okay, yeah.
And he was just so excited for me and so happy for me.
Hmm.
And then his wife came in, and his wife is a kind of a famous actress.
Oh, okay.
Character actress. She's amazing.
Okay, cool.
But the strikes were going on. So she was bartending, and she is also a sweetheart. And I came out to her as well. And they became my proud mama and papa all night long that night. They were just introducing me to people. They were like, you know, hey, do you know Kevin? No? Well, I got to tell you, can I tell them? They would ask me, not waiting for an answer, and come back and be like, Kevin just came out as queer in January.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of me finding my queer community.
Yeah.
Now, here's the clincher, though. The movie he was showing that night was Paris is Burning.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if you're familiar with that at all, but it is a documentary of the trans and drag balls that went on in Harlem in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a seminal documentary. And that was my first time going to this bar.
Was it your first time seeing Paris is Burning?
Yes, it was.
It was. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And I think it took me that long because it was too close to the truth.
Mm.
I think it was something that, like, subconsciously, it was too much to face.
Yeah.
And yet I would, you know, flirt with the idea of facing these things. But it's a heavy documentary, too.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So the dimmer switch got turned up a little more that night?
A little brighter. Exactly.
A little brighter. A little brighter.
Exactly. You know, and I don't know specifically what the impetus for it was. But during the next, like, 4 months, 5 months, I did a lot of thinking about it. Because, again, I think too much. But also I wanted to consider, because I have bipolar disorder type 2.
Right, right.
And there is a part of me that was afraid that this was a manic episode.
Okay, okay.
Right. And I did not want my transition sullied by anything that anyone could say, well, you know, you're in a manic phase, right?
Right.
So I really considered all of that. And eventually, I started slowly coming out as Kate. You know, I had my nails done for the first time by a friend at this bar. Minnie's is the bar. As I was coming out, she and a lot of other cis women friends started bringing me makeup and teaching me about makeup.
Oh, my God. Kate, you have such fantastic friends.
I really do. I am the luckiest trans woman on the planet.
Oh my God, you have such great friends.
The luckiest. So then I made my announcement in January on the social medias. And this is true of every step that I have taken. I am fucking terrified before I take the step. And then once I take the step, I'm just met with love, compassion, and empathy. And I know how lucky, I don't take this lightly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't take this for granted. So I came out and obviously I was welcomed by so many people, friends, family, what have you.
Yeah.
And my patrons at the bars that I work at.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, getting teary.
Oh, baby, it's okay.
No, this is tears of joy. This is tears of joy.
They look good on you.
And then in, I think it was February of this year, that poor child next Benedict.
Yeah.
There was a vigil at Stonewall. And I went with three friends and I decided to wear makeup in public for the first time. Because I figured if that child can be brave enough, then who the fuck am I not to?
We'll be right back.
Right, that's it. Come on, lights out. You've got a test tomorrow.
Just 2 minutes. I'm about to reach the next level.
It's going off now.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's see. Where's the app? Oh, here it is. Ha.
What? How?
Oh, no. You're out. Better luck next time.
Mom!
It's game over for late nights on school nights. EE Wi-Fi controls help you get them off the Wi-Fi and into bed. More parents are choosing EE Broadband, the UK's fastest growing broadband provider.
To verify, see ee.co.uk/claims.
Hey there, my name is Jody Avergan. Have you noticed the present day? It feels pretty rocky. Well, I think history can help. What's more, this little country of ours, the United States, it's turning 250 soon. So how did we get here? On this day, historians Nicole Hemmer and Kelly Carter Jackson and I sit down to look at stories from the past. Silly, surprising, deeply relevant, that feel like they have something to teach us about today. This day, 3 times a week, you can find it wherever you're listening right now.
We're back.
And it was like scared shitless. I was scared shitless. I was riding the subway at rush hour. And I was still the best I managed for a long time, as a friend put it, was I was a very pretty butch dyke.
Yeah. Were you wearing a dress that night? Or?
No. Okay. I was still wearing masculine clothes at this point.
Yeah.
But I'm wearing makeup, and I was terrified riding the subway at this hour. and nothing happened, of course. And the vigil was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I felt that I honored their memory. And, you know, this slow steps for the next couple of months until June of this year, where Minnie's, this bar that I've been talking about right along,
yeah,
they had their Pride celebration. I think it was on the 5th of June this year.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to wear a dress for the first time.
Yeah, girl.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Buying a dress is one of the most soul-crushing, harrowing, difficult experiences ever.
Oh, no.
Because, I mean, there's no consistency in terms of sizes.
I've heard this.
Between labels.
Okay, yeah.
Right? And I'm a larger woman, so it's also difficult to find things that look good on me.
Yeah.
It had been. I'm getting much better at this.
Okay.
And I was getting so disillusioned. I'm not a wealthy person by any stretch of the imagination, and I didn't want to spend too much because, you know, my body would be and is continuing to change.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So finally, one of my friends, this amazing woman, she's about 10 years older than I am. She's like, we're going to go thrifting together. This was brutal. It was like 100 degrees out. And I sweat like a whore in church standing still in the middle of winter. So I'm just like spewing sweat.
Okay.
And I walk over to this thrift shop. And there's a bar right next to it. And I literally had to go in for like two shots before I worked up the courage to go into this thrift store to meet my friend.
Yeah.
And I get in there and she's already got things pulled. Oh. She was like, Kate, I want you to try this one on. Try this one. Try this. And it took a while. Putting on a dress when you're sweaty as fuck is not a comfortable experience. Yeah. It just sticks.
I can imagine. Yeah.
But we ended up finding a dress that worked. It was kind of, you know, Earth Mama, sort of. It was tie-dyed. It was orange and very pretty.
Ooh, nice.
And if you go to my Instagram, you can see a picture of me in the dress.
Oh, good.
So on Pride Day, another one of my friends, because I was nervous again, this is the first time out in a dress.
Yeah.
She came, she picked me up from my apartment. We rode a taxi together. I get out of the taxi, and then I have a Marilyn Monroe moment. My skirt is up over my head. I'm flashing the entire avenue with my ass hanging out. But I get it down, you know, and I'm discreet. And we go in, and again, it was an incredibly lovely experience. Everyone just loved the dress. They were so happy for me, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, my God.
It was incredible. And I got to be Marilyn Monroe for a moment.
Yeah.
And then I started to slowly buy a wardrobe for myself. Things that I felt comfortable with.
Yeah.
And that made me feel pretty. And I had the costume jewelry, you know, for my friends. And, you know, I started building a wardrobe.
Fuck yeah.
You know, I was wearing more femme clothing to work, but not dresses.
Okay, okay.
You know, like slacks with flared, you know, almost like bell-bottom sort of things. And I had these gorgeous blouses that I would wear, very floral blouses. But the night before the election this year.
Yeah.
It was a Saturday night, and I work until 9. And my best girlfriend, Esmeralda, she is my big little sister.
Hmm.
She's this stunningly beautiful trans-Dominican woman who's badass.
Yeah.
She started transitioning much earlier, obviously, than I did. Uh-huh. So she has sort of the institutional knowledge, and I bring my old lady wisdom to the relationship. Uh-huh. So we balance each other out in that regard. But she came to meet me at work, and we were hanging out, and I had changed into actually one of my favorite dresses that night.
Nice.
And we were hanging out, and then we stepped outside for a bit, and some drunk 22, 23-year-old white boy came up to me and said, who are you supposed to be?
Oh, my God.
And, you know, we started cursing him out.
Okay.
And meanwhile, Esmeralda is whispering in my ear, let me off the leash, let me off the leash. And I was like, no, girlfriend. We don't need blood in front of the bar where I work. We got this. Also, the doorman was right around the corner and he would have jumped in a second to protect us.
Sure, sure.
But he eventually gave up and left. And then later that night, I stopped in at a local close to my home for an iCab. And then went to the deli across the street to pick up a bite. And in the deli, the same fucking thing happened.
Oh, fuck.
Another 22, 23-year-old drunk white boy.
Oh, my God. Like a copy of the first guy.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, no.
But this time I was alone.
Yeah.
And I was scared.
Yeah.
I went to anger, which is not a comfortable place for me to be. And again, I cursed him out and I paid for what I was going to get. And I stood outside the deli like, you know, what am I going to do? I'm going to beat him up. Are you kidding me? But I don't know what I had in my head. I was just so disturbed.
Yeah.
And then this regular at the bar happened to come out of the bar and see me and see that I was in distress. Now, he's a total bro, right? Backward cap. Big beard, loud, loves his sports.
Okay.
Total dude.
Yeah.
He sees that I'm in distress and he comes over to me and he insists on giving me a ride home. Meanwhile, I live like a 5-minute walk from the bar, but he insists.
Oh my God.
He talks me off the ledge. He plays music for me. He sits with me for like 20 minutes outside my apartment just to make sure that I'm okay.
Oh my God.
I mean, if that isn't a snow globe moment, I don't know what is.
Yo.
And I still went upstairs and I sobbed for 2 hours, but to have that person looking out for me unexpectedly. It was after that that I decided, you know, fuck this. I'm going to wear a dress to work tomorrow for the first time.
Really?
I was like, it took me 57 fucking years to get out of the closet. I'm not going to let some little drunk prick drive me back in again.
Oh my God.
I am going to be visible. And so I wore a dress to work the next day.
Fuck yeah.
And again, I was scared. But again, met with nothing but love, compassion, and empathy.
Was this these two dudes before the night before the election, was that your first experience like that at all? Where someone...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. And dude, how fucking cool that that, which I was afraid you were going to say was really discouraging, and I mean, I'm sure it was, but that you went the other way.
Oh, it did hurt. It felt like they were taking something from me because I had been feeling so confident and so brave up to that point.
Yeah.
And that's what hurt, is that they took a little something from me. So then on election night, I performed.
Oh.
I did a show. I was in a show that a friend of mine wrote. It was a lot of fun. It was a dark political satire. And I stole the show.
Of course.
Because I was a comic relief. And it's easy for the comic relief to steal the show.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I got all Daniela Day-Lewis on this character. I was a bar fly sitting at the bar. And yeah. All of my lines were like non sequiturs just to relieve the tension.
Classic.
It was so much fun. So much fun. But then we know how the night ended.
Yeah, we know how the night ended. Yeah.
And it was at that point that I decided that I am always going to wear a dress now.
Fucking A, dude. That is so encouraging, Kate, that your response to those hurtful events was to commit. That is so beautiful to me.
I'm too old to hide.
Yeah.
And I've become radicalized in a way as an old lady. This is too important to me. I feel much happier than I've ever felt, and I don't want anyone to take that away from me.
Much happier than you've ever felt.
Truly, truly.
Wow.
I met a woman that night,
ooh,
night of the election, and we ended up going out on a date that turns out it wasn't a date, but we were both confused, and we're still super close friends, regardless.
Okay, okay.
But, you know, just the fact that I felt pretty enough to attract someone.
Fucking A, right?
And since then, I've actually started dating someone regularly now.
Cool.
They're amazing.
I have no doubt.
She's a 50-year-old trans woman. She presents androgynously, which is hot.
Hot.
She showed up for the first day with flowers. She opened every door for me. She insisted on walking on the outside. She made me feel like such a lady. And, oh, she's also a bodybuilder. She's incredibly hot.
Oh, my God, hot.
This is too long a story, but she took me out for my birthday. It was such a magical day. It was perfect.
Hmm.
You know, and part of the date was we ended up making out like fucking teenagers in a car.
Yes.
And maybe playing in other ways as well.
Okay.
But the thing that was most important was that I felt present for the first time in play.
Wow.
Seriously. Like, I wasn't in my head.
Yeah.
I've always been in my head previously.
Did you know there was something missing before? That, like, why can't I get out of my head and this is just the way that it is?
No.
Or, yeah.
No.
It was just discovering something that you didn't even know was possible, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the fact that I'm in my own skin. It was astonishing. He was so magic. This is what I mean when I say I'm the luckiest fucking trans woman on the planet.
Yo, it sounds like it. It sounds like you have a lot of really wonderful friends.
I really, really do. And I'm grateful for all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not all easy. I'm still broke as fuck, you know?
Sure, sure, sure.
I have to move in 2 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it sucks. But, I mean, there's always downsides.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest, the gender euphoria is what's keeping my head above water right now.
A lot of challenges otherwise.
In other aspects.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's okay.
Yeah. Was it really profound, the first date you went on this woman and her treating you like a lady, like in a romantic capacity?
Oh my God. It was so huge. I'm going to stand up to just to get a... I need to blow my nose after being all teary.
Yeah, but. No, do you? When I asked you just now if it was great that first night, her treating you like a lady in a romantic sense, your face went totally euphoric. Like I could see them. Your eyes were just whites as they rolled back in your head, and you parted your mouth in such a way.
It was. I'm a caretaker by nature.
Yeah.
I mean, this is. I'm a caretaker.
Yeah.
And I suck at asking for help, for one thing, just as an example.
Yeah.
But to have her take care of me, to feel safe in her presence, I don't even know if I have words big enough.
Sure.
It was, obviously, I'm tongue-tied here. I mean, it was...
No, I think for me, it wouldn't come across to listeners, but for me, the look on your face communicated more than any description ever could.
Just to be held the way that she holds me, to be the woman that I always knew, even if only subconsciously.
Yeah.
To be seen.
Yeah.
I mean, and isn't that what we all want?
Oh, yeah.
Really, in a relationship?
Yeah.
Is to be seen.
Yeah. Wow.
And to be celebrated for what they see.
Yeah.
She's so good to me and so kind and so, for someone so powerful, and she's fucking powerful.
Yeah.
But she's so gentle with me.
Hmm.
And we were texting the other night, and, you know, I said to her, I was like, look, you taking care of me means so much to me.
Yeah.
But I want you to know that this is a two-way street, that we have to take care of each other moving forward. You know?
Yeah.
And it turns out that that's a new concept for her. Being taken care of.
She's a caretaker too.
Precisely.
Yeah. And for you, is it not a matter of being uncomfortable being taken care of, but just of wanting to reciprocate and feeling love in being able to give that kind of attention?
That's right. That's right. And I have experienced that feeling of being, you know, the discomfort with being taken care of.
Yeah.
I often feel that when I'm taken care of.
Yeah.
But this feels different. And again, it's a reciprocating thing.
Yeah.
That's how partnerships work, right?
Yeah.
We take care of each other.
I wonder if part of how euphoric and beyond words it feels is because you feel like you're being seen and being taken care of for you and who you really are, maybe in a way that hasn't always been there.
100%. 100%. That's what it is. It's breathtaking. It really is breathtaking.
To discover all this at 57 is profoundly beautiful, Kate.
There are a lot of us out there, though, us late bloomers. You know, Lucy Sont comes to mind.
Mm.
Harper in that documentary with Will Ferrell, the Will and Harper.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's on Netflix. She came out at 61.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, I'm terrified of what the future holds.
Yeah.
But I can be a complete cunt when I need to be. Trust me on that one.
I bet. And it sounds like so far in the last year, the terror is there, and then you've been pleasantly surprised.
Yes. I do feel incredibly lucky. Incredibly lucky. A friend of mine who I see occasionally came into one of the bars where I work at the other day, and she had never seen me in a dress before, and she commented, "The way you walked up to me was the happiest and most secure I've ever seen you."
Oof. Oof. Most secure, too. How fucking cool is that?
Oh, well, that's why I'm so sexy, is because I'm confident as fuck now.
God damn, that's just one of the reasons, Kate.
You know, confidence is sexy.
You're the sexiest.
Oh, well, thank you, Taj.
Yeah.
It's a journey. It's a journey. It doesn't matter when you get there, so long as you get there.
And your mom's been wonderful too, you said.
She's been good. I mean, she'll use my old name or she'll misgender me, but she had a boy until this year, so I don't blame her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she doesn't judge my choice, nor does my stepfather.
Good.
My baby sister, when I came out to her, first thing she says was, "You know, I always wanted a big sister."
Oh, what a darling.
You know, I was FaceTiming with my baby brother, and my nephew is in the background. And when kids stay up well past their bedtime, and they get that weird wired, and he just wanted to stay up longer.
Yeah.
So I see my nephew walking in the back room, and he's like, "Auntie Kate, look at this. Auntie Kate, look at this." Anything so that he can stay up later. But I was Auntie Kate.
Just like that? They just got it?
Yep.
Oh, fucking cool.
Yep. Well, they're babies. I mean, he's like 2.5. So, but yeah, I'm Auntie Kate now.
That is sweet.
I loved that. I loved hearing that. And kids, they don't care.
Yeah.
They're taught.
Right. Agreed. This is not ingrained to have that kind of judgment.
Exactly. Auntie Kate.
The thought struck me that, like, doing the performance, being on stage and being applauded, that seems like that might be a powerful moment. I mean, especially if you were grappling with fear about, you know, wearing the dress and whatever else, like, did it seem like a significant moment?
That was a powerful thing. That was a powerful thing. I was greeted with such love, kindness, and empathy.
Yeah.
They loved that character.
Fucking A.
And, you know, since then I'm like, oh God, all the women characters that I can now play.
Fuck yeah.
You know, fucking Lady Macbeth. You know, all of these characters that are now open.
Yeah.
And it's nice to be back on stage, but it's also really nice to be me on stage.
Yeah.
And then there's also, you know, the aspect of playing a character.
Yeah, Right. There's a lot there.
You know, I've been playing a character my whole fucking life.
Yeah.
I've been a drag king my whole life, basically. And I never felt comfortable in the role. I never felt comfortable. And it always felt performative.
Hmm.
It's so relaxing not to have to put on that role anymore. To let that go. This place I found myself in is more than I ever could have thought to hope for.
Yeah, I bet. After 56 years thinking like, well, I kind of understand the deal here. And to discover and experience this.
It's so fun. Everything is shiny and new.
I could not be happier for you.
Thank you so much, Taj. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to all of my stories.
Oh, shit. I could keep going all night, Kate. Hell yeah. It's so cool to see you for the first time. And
it really is good to see your face. It's exciting that, I mean, you've seen the picture of me on the website, of course, but
yeah,
in real life, you just know me as this.
That's right. That's exactly what I was just thinking.
God, I think about that a lot with people that I meet, as they only know me as me. What a blessing. Such grace I've received.
Luckiest trans woman alive.
Seriously. Oh God, my makeup is running now. I'm going to look like Robert Smith.
What a joy that we could be meeting now. Both of us happy. How about that?
And from where we were to this.
Yeah. I love you so much.
Oh God, Taj, I love you to pieces.
Everybody, that's pretty much it for the show. You can find Kate Bowl at KateBowl66 on Instagram. Kate is going to be performing at a storytelling event on June 27th at the Open Source Gallery in Brooklyn. You can find out more about that event by following Kate on Instagram or checking out the Open Source Gallery online. Pride Month festivities continue. Next week, it's Best of Trans Lives number 4 with Kevin and mysterious guest Peppermint, who is going to be cool, probably. I think, I don't really know who Peppermint is, but I am looking forward to it because I just trust this show and I trust Kevin. And I love that they're called Peppermint. And I love that they're going to be on this show talking about something gay. Or trans forward. Fucking Pride Month. This is an intense and kind of sad Pride Month, but that's just because I'm feeling sad. You might be feeling hopeful or like angry or energized or something by how fucking scary things kind of look in terms of the direction of culture and politics around trans rights. I never thought that I would feel this way again about the direction the culture was moving. I don't know. Maybe things are going to be cool. I sure hope so. But right now it's scary. So I'm glad to be here playing stories like this for people. I hope it helps. If you have any stories that relate to pride kind of stuff, please send them. risk-show.com/submissions. We'll take any story you want to send us, but I will be especially grateful and invigorated if you send us stories that might kind of bolster the cause during this cultural moment, which scares and baffles and disturbs me. We have some resources in the show notes about ways that you can support trans folks, donating, getting involved in activism work, just learning, educating yourself, maybe educate someone else if you see the opportunity to do that. because there is heinous shit going on that turns my stomach and makes me want to break my head open. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you, Kate Bowl. Thank you, Kevin Allison. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, me. Yeah, I love me too. I'm trying to practice self-love. So do me a favor and tell yourself you love yourself right now, because it's powerful and it's contagious. And I think it's the thing to do. All right, I love you all, seriously. I don't think I've ever said that before on the show. Maybe I have. I'm a softie, and I say it all the time to people that I don't even know. But I do love you all. Especially right now, I feel that. Pride Month 2025. People that are listening to a story about a trans woman, I do love you. I love you. Unless you're doing some kind of, like, investigative, like, saboteur work as like a far right conservative, that's different. But I do love you. I do. It's more complicated, but I do. Okay, somebody should take my microphone away. I shouldn't be left alone. I'm a weird guy. I really am. That's why I work here. It's an honor. It really is a privilege. There's a Thursday episode tomorrow. Kevin and Peppermint next week. But that's next week. That's tomorrow. And today is the day. Take a risk.